T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
At the end line, Tito dribbling, and it's dropped! Score! Barco! And for the first time all year across all competitions, Atlanta United has a lead on the road.
Mike Conley on Saturday night in Foxborough, one of two goals for Ezequiel Barco. The second was quite a strike in his brace, leading Atlanta United to a 2-0 win over the New England Revolution. Mike Conley joins us this morning. He's brought to you by Brightbox Electrical. They do it all. Brightbox Electrical, Atlanta's unshockingly good electricians at Brightbox. Mike Conley, was a pretty good Saturday night there, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. Hopefully, we look at Saturday night as the moment where things really started to turn around for this club, because for the most part, they look like the Atlanta United that we've come to know and love over the last few years.
You know what? That's what I was about to ask you, Mike Conley. I know you said it was over a 3-game stretch as far as what you wanted to see, but with this first leg of the stretch, do they look like the team of old?
Yeah, I think so. I honestly, and I've been trying to say it for the last couple of weeks, and people just haven't wanted to listen. I feel like they've actually looked like the team of old since the Philadelphia match, as far as being able to create chances and hold possession, limit opponents' chances, stay on the attack, stay on the front foot. They just haven't been converting. Well, Saturday they finally converted, and you know, all you need really with the way that Atlanta United has been defending this year is two goals. If you score two goals in a league match, I like your chances to get a result, because Atlanta United has done such a good job, especially with Miles Robinson and Leandro Gonzalez Perez, of defending this year. So finally we saw it. Finally we saw the conversion. Could they have had 3 or 4 additional goals? Yeah. But, I mean, think back to last year. How many times we saw Atlanta United with 2-0 wins but felt like they were 5-0 wins because they were just so dominant? And that's the way that Saturday's matchup in Boston felt to me.
Boy, it was nice to see Atlanta United kind of get back into kind of form and shape. And, boy, maybe this time off and the ability to spend some time training really has done them good, Mike. And I think the big question that everybody has, that I have for you, is, you know, we know that, you know, Joseph missed a couple. He missed a golden opportunity again. That's okay. I mean, he's going to once he starts connecting, he'll start scoring goals. But do you get a sense that this is, all right, we're off to the races now?
Yeah, I do. And especially because if you look at the next two matches, they're two very winnable home games. So you string 3 wins in a row together, or 2 wins and a draw or something like that, now you've really developed a lot of momentum. And now you go into the month of May where you're playing a ton of matches, a ton of midweek matches, and you've got all kinds of goofy travel, but at least now you're in a rhythm. And that's where you kind of can embrace the compressed schedule, as opposed to at the beginning of the year when you're traveling to Mexico and Costa Rica and D.C. and Columbus and you're tired and fatigued and you haven't been together all that long and you're adjusting to a new manager and you're trying to figure things out. So that's why I think these next two matches are really important. I feel good about them. But I do really think, John, that this was a turning point on Saturday. The one thing that really stood out to me was all day Saturday when we got to Foxborough, I think we got up there around 10 or 11 in the morning, you just got the vibe from everyone we talked to from the club that they were very, very upbeat, very positive, very confident. Darren Eales visited with us for a good half hour before the match. I mean, you just got the feel from him that they felt very, very good about the last week they had, where they were all able to train together and recover. I know some players went away briefly during the break after the Columbus match just to get a quick vacation in and recharge. And honestly, they looked like a team that just got back from a week of vacation. Think about when we go into the office after we've had a week off. We feel very good about our jobs, at least for a short while. And I kind of got that feeling Saturday, that they felt like they were in a really good place mentally, and you saw that manifest on the pitch.
Is there any word on Eric Remedy and his Remedy and his concussion?
No, and that was really scary. So Remedy gets plowed into from behind by Caicedo literally 10 seconds into the match, hits the back of his head. He came out and then came right back in, tried to play for about 10 minutes, and then took himself out of the match. So he's got a head injury. I don't know if the club has confirmed anything beyond that. I think one is to assume that they're going to be very, very cautious trying to rush back anyone who's dealt with a head injury or a concussion, which brings up, I think, the probability that Barco might drop back. I'm sorry, not Barco. Nagy might drop back a little bit more in the midfield. Barco then starts in the midfield on Saturday against Dallas, assuming that Remedy could not play. Basically, the shape they were in once Barco came in 10 minutes into the match on Saturday.
Of course, Barco is one of those players. Boy, he's really started to find his game here this year, Mike. I mean, that strike on the second goal was almost a golazo. It was perfection.
Oh, it wasn't almost a golazo. It was absolutely a golazo. It was one of the best goals that I've seen in my 2 years doing this. And look, Barco, I think a lot of people forgot that last year he got in a training camp kind of last minute. Then he got hurt. He missed a month plus at the start of the season. Then he got hurt again. Then other things happened. And he had a very, very choppy season last year. He couldn't really get into a rhythm because he was fighting injuries and exclusions from the 18. And I kind of wonder if this is maybe a harbinger of what we're to expect this year from Pitty Martinez, who's kind of in a similar situation where he comes over from a big club in Argentina on a huge transfer fee. Everyone's expecting something out of him. And Pippi has kind of been fighting it with injuries and mistraining and fatigue and international duty and all of that. And it took Barco a year to really kind of get fully up to it in MLS. And maybe it's going to take Pippi a little bit longer than we all hoped and expected to get fully up to it. But it's a long-term investment. And the investment in Barco is starting to pay off, and I have no doubt that the investment in Pitty will pay off too in due time, but it might take a little bit longer than we're all expecting.
Talking with Mike Connie about Atlanta United, about some of the individual performances too, I thought Darlington Nagbe played a great game.
Me too, yeah. 100% passing accuracy in the final third, which is obviously as good as it gets. Created a lot of chances, and it also showed some flexibility. You know, when Remedy went out, Nagbe had to drop back a little bit, so it was almost as though you threw out the game plan 10 minutes into it and you had to accept a new role. But he did great. Everyone did great, really. I mean, that's one of those matches on Saturday where you look at everyone who played and you rate them at 8+ because that's the number 8, not the letter A. Because it just was a comprehensive, dominant performance. Joseph did get a little bit unlucky. Yeah, I know you had a tweet after the match, John, that there should have been more goals. I agree. I think Cody Cropper, the New England keeper, had a couple big saves.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that tweet, I also think that, this is what I hate about Mike, if I can, to that, because I got some blowback on that. I hate that there's no, context, there's no, all I was saying, I wasn't saying it was 2-0, but boy, it should have been 5. I was saying it was 2-0, and it could have been 5-6 or nothing.
Yeah, and you're correct. You are totally correct. I think you got to give Andrew Farrell, who tracked back well defensively, some credit. Cody Cropper, the keeper, some credit. But you're correct. I mean, Atlanta United absolutely left goals on the table, and hopefully that motivates them this week going into training. But you never felt like Atlanta United was ever in any danger in that match, did you? And that's a feeling that we had for a lot of matches last year. Let's hope it's the first of many times we'll get to experience that this year.
You know what? It looked like Atlanta United of old. There's no question about that. But if there was one criticism that you have for Saturday night, Mike Conte, in your eyes, what would that be?
Yikes. I mean, other than, the two or three sitters that you kind of missed on where you didn't quite convert some good opportunities, I can't really think of anything. I mean, you got a clean sheet, so you obviously defended very well.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, if I have one critique on anything from that match, it's the referee. I mean, Jaleel Amibada goes into Julian Gressel's knee, studs up, knee extended in midair, clobbers him, draws blood, the VAR checks it, no red card. And that is a classic red card that any other day of the week, Anababa is going to be dismissed from the match. And, you know, I thought there were a couple very, very harsh, cynical challenges by New England that at least could have produced an orange card, if not a red. And then, you know, if Atlanta United is playing 11-on-10, 11-on-9, you know, maybe we are talking about a very gaudy score. But, you know, honestly, I can't pick out anything to criticize Atlanta United on for Saturday. I thought they played just about as well as they could play.
Let's all be clear. Anytime a team from Atlanta goes to Gillette Stadium and wins a game in anything, it's a good day.
John, do you know if they brought out the Vince Lombardi trophy before kickoff?
You're kidding.
I have absolutely no idea why. I have no idea what that had to do with anything. But when they when the teams took their photos before kickoff, they had two people bring the Vince Lombardi trophy out to midfield. I have no idea why.
Petty?
No
petty?
Clue.
Petty?
I guess. You know, I mean, maybe we should bring out a big picture of the Orchids of Asia Day Spa. I have no idea, but wow. I just... What?
Hey, way to go, John. I mean, way to go.
No, yeah. No, I mean, really.
But really, what does it have to do with anything? He's right.
No, I'm with you.
Exactly.
I'm just saying. Way to go.
Yeah, now, think about that. Like, if the Falcons are hosting their preseason home opponent, let's say the Redskins, are they going to bring the MLS Cup out to midfield before kickoff? It has nothing to do with anything.
Exactly.
In an NFL game. That one really puzzled me, but whatever. I mean, obviously it didn't have any effect on the outcome, but I thought that was very, very
ridiculous,
interesting and bizarre that they decided to do that before kickoff.
Mike Conney, as always, you can find him at Mike Conney. Hey, Mike, thanks much.
All right, guys, a pleasure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.